It's time for Taking Care of Business on Midlands 103. With thanks to the local enterprise offices of Leash, Offaly and Westmeath. Find us on localenterprise.ie and let's talk business.
Midlands 103.
Hello and a very good evening. It's Tuesday the 27th of September. I'm Ronan Berry and you're very welcome to Taking Care of Business here on Midlands 103. Well, no prizes for guessing what tonight's topic of discussion will be. I've been 5 years presenting Taking Care of Business here, and this really and truly is the first year that the budget is having a profound impact on many aspects of our lives, especially on businesses, but also on our personal lives and busy in every way we operate. A lot of flags have been flown over the past couple of days, in particular over the last 24 hours. And a lot of what was flagged was announced by Ministers Pascal Donoghue and Michael McGrath today. But there is some huge supports and some key incentives for businesses. And we're going to kind of break down those down and discuss them in more detail between now and 8 p.m. My guest in studio this evening is Donal Hackett from Milne Dwyer in Tullamore. And Donal is going to take us through the key parts of that, from particularly from the point of view of businesses. Pascal Donoghue said in his closing speech today that, you know, a lot of challenges face business, but we're facing those challenges on a very, very strong foot. Employment is at the highest rate ever. Exchequer returns, we've hit record numbers there. So there is money in the kitty, apparently. But 11 billion euros is the predicted or the estimated value of today's overall budget package. I'm looking forward to hearing from you on this as well. If you'd like to get in touch with me and Donal here in the studio, you can do so by text and WhatsApp on 083 3010 103. That, of course, is powered by the home of Offaly's top-selling car brand, Lambrothers Toyota, on the Arden Road in Tullamore. But to begin, let's look at that whole package. 11 billion euros. Let's try and find out maybe where that money is coming from. Is it borrowings? Is it all money that we've already put in the bank for a rainy day? What's actually happening behind the scenes? And what was the overall scope and indeed the objectives of today's budget? Donal, you're very welcome to Midlands 103.
Thank you. What a
time to get involved, because as I just said at the start, for the last number of years, some of these budgets were almost a thing of nothing. They were a bit of a non-event, such that the changes they brought about were insignificant. Today's different.
It certainly is. I mean, as you said, a big spending budget, 11 billion, is absolutely enormous in recent terms. And the scope of its application has been very broad. In more recent budgets, we've had addressing the Brexit issue, and certainly more recently, the enormous level of COVID supports that were necessary. But this one is addressing cost of living, and the Ukraine has been added into the part there. And it's framed as a cost of living budget, and it is attempting to address inflation, the impact that's having on businesses, individuals and organisations. And I suppose the big topic is energy, which affects everybody from pensioners to large companies. And that has been flagged as was going to be introduced. And there is a large level of support there for businesses on energy. Businesses do face a lot of challenges. You know, corporate insolvencies are up 36% up to the end of September versus last year. So that will be arising a lot from the phasing out of the COVID supports. And, you know, it's not likely to get any better. It's likely probably to worsen. But they are just some of the challenges that are facing businesses. As I say, energy costs certainly is a huge one. And while there are some reliefs in the budget, you know, there will still be a cost.
It is. I think it's indicative of what might be coming down the tracks too. Of course, it covers such an array of things down to childcare. You know, this evening on the show, we're not going to touch on things like social welfare or, you know, other things that'll be covered by Will Faulkner on Midlands today, again with Donal in more detail tomorrow. But some of the key things that maybe stood out for you, and I know over the course of the show, we're going to kind of delve a bit deeper into some of these, but what were the key things from a business perspective that caught your eye?
Okay, I suppose the biggest one is the business energy support, which is intended to alleviate the burden faced by businesses, we'll say, in relation to their energy costs. And the formula for calculating that relief is that basically you compare the costs in the year ended September 22 with September 21. If it has increased by 50%, you are eligible for support, and that support is 40% of the excess, which is a considerable benefit. Now, a lot of the businesses will say, well, we still have 60%, but, you know, I suppose they can't cover everything. But it's a significant support and, you know, quite costly for the exchequer, but it should be beneficial to many businesses.
And I suppose, crucially, it's a support as opposed to a price cap.
Oh, exactly. The price cap has been suggested, and I know the minister, in response to that, basically was saying a price cap. You don't know what the input costs are going to be, so it could turn out to get out of hand. It could be completely unaffordable. So I think the energy support for businesses, and there's also an energy support for private individuals, but strictly on the business, the energy cap, it's something that is literally, you don't know where it's going to end.
Do we know where the money is coming from, this 11 billion?
Well, certainly the exchequer position is quite healthy. And, you know, the economy has recovered well from the previous, you know, the recent traumas. And if, you know, tax takes have been up, particularly corporation tax. Now, corporation tax is significantly higher. It is probably dependent to a large extent on a few companies, maybe 10 companies with an enormous number of employees who are basically multinational as a result of foreign direct investment. The, I suppose, issue with that is the fear is that that is not sustainable, that we don't know what way the global economy is going to go. We don't know what impact it's going to have on the plans for the multinationals to remain in Ireland. And it, you know, it's an uncertainty there. So it's not something that we should be relying on as a permanent fixture in our budgets.
Yeah. I suppose it's also not natural resource. It's not oil. It's not gas. And if we look at the work has been done in this country lately in terms of trying to, you know, bring about more renewables, and even a guy from the ESB told me in the show a few weeks ago that Ireland in time could become a net exporter of energy back to the continent. So let's pin our cards. Let's hopefully all that will stay there. I think we got to be positive on that one as well, because such is the tax take. And I think there is additional money being put into the Department of Enterprise, Trade and Employment, and indeed to further support the IDA and Enterprise Ireland in developing more, getting more FDI and developing those indigenous companies. But from the point of view of, I suppose, the average citizen as well, the average employee working out there, what's the kind of net gain for them today? Is there anything to be gained, or is it ultimately gained on one side and going out in bills on the other, do you think?
Well, if we take inflation, it could be running anything from 7, 8, 10%, depending on what period you look at, what period is projected, or what commentators you listen to. So if we say 8 or 9%, the benefits in the budget, for the average taxpayer, you've got an increase in the standard rate tax band by 3,200 up to 40,000. So that is €640 for a couple. Twice that, €1,280. So that, you know, that in itself is not going to alleviate the inflationary pressures that households are going to feel. There are three subsidies to be paid to householders, €200 per household before Christmas, a further two lots of 200 early in the new year. So that's €600, which will certainly help. For, if we're looking at employees, the tax-free voucher scheme is one that is, you know, quite helpful there. We can touch on that later, depending. But for the average taxpayer, you know, you've got the increase in the tax band is basically the main benefit there.
So actually, when you mentioned that a tax-free voucher scheme, it's good because it's a great way for an employer to reward an employee, and it was up to €500 tax-free, and it's been doubled in this budget. And I suppose what people may not realise, it presents a huge opportunity to encouraging spending in the local area. It's something that John Gagan, actually president of Mullingar Chamber, touched on just before we came on air with me. John, of course, has been president there for the last number of years, and he just gave me his reaction to Budget 2023. I began by asking John if today's budget will put businesses in the region more at ease in the face of escalating energy and operational costs.
I think at €11 billion in an economy of 5 million people, this is an incredible capital commitment to the country. And I think it speaks volumes of the fact that the government gets the scale of the problem they're dealing with. And if you look at it compared to the UK, you know, they're 10 times the size of us. It would equate to €110 billion over there. And they allocated €50 billion recently, and the pound nearly fell through the ground. You know, it's an incredible step forward.
Any supports in particular that you feel your members would welcome more?
The big one is the Business Energy Relief Scheme. So basically, if you can prove that your energy costs have doubled, The government will cover 40% of the increase in your energy costs, capped at 10,000 euros a month. So I think that's a huge step forward. It takes a lot of pressure off businesses that are energy reliant, and it covers effectively 40% of the increase in cost they've suffered during this crisis so far.
It is. It's a move, I suppose. It was well flagged in advance. Maybe people probably felt, you know, will it actually happen? It's there now. How do you think, though, it bears for future? Is it a sign that maybe things are going to get an awful lot worse? Or do you think, should this see us over the storm that's coming?
I think it's a gradual step in the right direction. Nobody knows how bad this crisis is going to get. But it looks like if it's a 3 or 4 step journey to the worst place we end up in, we're well beyond step one now. And nobody knows where it's going to go. But certainly it shows businesses, the government there, they're putting processes in place to try and help them and try and keep viable businesses open. And there's not a lot more they can do at this stage. Like, it will probably increase in time if things get worse.
Anything else that stood out for you today?
The brilliant thing for us at Mullingar Chamber is that they've increased the voucher tax relief scheme to 1,000 euros a year. And this year, an employee can actually get 2 vouchers for 2,000 euros. So in Mullingar Chamber, we sell about 250,000 euros a year in vouchers. And this should help us sell a lot more vouchers this year, which is great for retailers in the town and on the street. Other stuff that looks really good, you know, look at they've put in 700 new teachers, 158 new schools. They brought up the entry level to the 40% tax band. So effectively, it's 800 quid a year in people's pockets through income. 600 euros there on the ESB credit scheme, which is fantastic. And if you look at the newspapers, they scrapped a VAT for the newspapers, print and digital, which I think is brilliant. So it gives them a bit of support going forward.
And when you mentioned VAT there, I know the hospitality, the rate of VAT is going to change, go back up to 13.5% from February. How do you think that will go down with businesses?
I think it's a game of chicken. I think the government are watching to see how companies behave, particularly in the hotel sector, in terms of the rate they charge to customers. And when it gets to February, who knows where we'll be. My call is it'll be extended at that time.
I wonder, will John Gagan, their president of Mullingar Chamber, will he be correct on that call? That whole issue of VAT and the supports for the hospitality sector, we'll discuss that with my guest Donal Hackett and indeed with John Clendenin, the president-elect of the Vintners Federation of Ireland, around 7:30 this evening. Energy is coming up with everybody we speak to as well. Kieran Gorman of Bevcraft and Mullingar will be along shortly to give their perspective on the supports that are announced today. And then everything is underpinned by childcare, by the availability of school places that John Gagan touched on there too. All these other things that we need in our infrastructure to support business in the region. So later on, Regina Bushell, the CEO of Grovelands Childcare, will give her perspective on today's budget supports, particularly as a huge childcare provider in the Midlands. So lots more to come here on Taking Care of Business. We'll be back after break to begin looking at that supports for businesses, particularly in relation to meeting or helping them meet escalating energy bills. That's all coming up. My guest in studio this evening is Donal Hackett of Milne O'Dwyer Accountants in Tullamore, and we're just going through the kind of key points of Budget 2023, an 11 billion euro suite of measures that was announced by Ministers Pascal Donoghue and Michael McGrath earlier today. Seems to have been reasonably well received in business circles across the country. We're going to concentrate, of course, on the Midlands this evening, and between now and 8 o'clock we'll have some key business leaders from the area giving their opinions and speaking about what it is like at the minute in terms of operating businesses given the escalating costs. Donal, back to you to begin with. The energy, the supports put in place for energy charges today, obviously a key one. You might just give us a quick recap on that, but also if there's any other supports from a business perspective that people should be aware of.
Okay, I suppose the energy support is where your energy costs have increased by more than 50% for the past 12 months versus the previous 12 months. You will be eligible for the business energy support, and that level of support is 40% of the increase 2022 versus 2021. So, and that is to run to early next year. Whether or not it's extended, we wait and see.
It's a huge one. It has been, I think, the topic. It's been at the forefront of everybody's mind for the past while, particularly since February when the invasion of the Ukraine started, and we've seen the fallout and continue to see what's happening there. But time to get a perspective of what it's actually like on the ground. Kieran Gorman is the co-founder and the CFO of Mullingar headquartered Bevcraft. Now, who is Bevcraft? Well, just as a quick reminder, if you need it, they're Europe's largest mobile canner, and they're now operating a fleet of 11 lines serving 7 countries across Europe. It's grown from a very small base not that long ago to becoming a flagship company and operating in that kind of craft beer and canning sector. So how would somebody have got into that business in the first place? But two people did anyway, Ciarán Gorman and Darren Fenton. Ciarán joins me now. Ciarán, I suppose, to begin, can you just give us an idea of what it's been like in the past while dealing with rising costs, with inflation, and indeed ever-escalating energy prices?
Oh, it's been very complex for the business, I suppose. You're setting your pricing stall out each year, usually on an annual basis, and then you're effectively having to go back to customers and explain that this particular line item and that line item have to change because you're passing through prices that have, you know, we've no control over. They're externally driven. But on the energy piece in particular, it's been a huge concern. There's really three areas that concern us about energy. One is our own use of energy, which is increasing, I suppose, all the time as we grow the business here in Ireland. The second is our end user, I suppose, the breweries we're selling into, and they're relatively energy-intensive businesses. And the third is the hospitality trade that ultimately trades with the breweries and buys the product off them. And, of course, we've all heard and seen in local newspaper stories of local publicans and hotels with massive increases in energy costs. And it's really the fear of a cascading effect there was quite serious. In the run-up to the budget, there was a bit of talk about potentially a scheme that might only give a certain very high energy-intensive industry relief. But I'm delighted today to see that the scheme is quite broad-based, and it looks like most businesses will actually qualify. I think nearly everyone has experienced a 50% plus increase. We've certainly seen at least that, and certain of the units, it's been more like a tripling of the cost. So I think most people will be quite happy with it. And I'd echo what Donal and John said earlier on about the broadly about the budget. It's in the right direction. It's quite a good budget, I think. And you only have to look over across the water to maybe where maybe they've gone a bit too far, and that spooked the market. So I think it's a very sensible budget. That's my take on it, at least.
Of course, across the water, you have a direct presence there about 2 years ago, kind of before the Brexit really hit in. You established a presence in Liverpool. Just give us an idea now of the scale of your operation across Europe at present.
So at the moment, we have about 40 people employed across the different locations. We have 5 buildings in occupation at the minute, and we're actually up to 15 canning lines at this stage. So it's quite an expansive business at this point. We handle close to 100 million cans a year, which would certainly make us one of the largest businesses of our kind in the world, and certainly the largest in Europe. But it does mean that we get an exposure to what's happening in other jurisdictions. And I can tell you the kilowatt price we're paying in the Netherlands, and we're paying in the UK, and we're paying here, and you know, everyone's experiencing the same challenges, but you know, each government is going to react slightly differently in how to address it. And I think the scheme is pretty good that has been proposed here. As I think Donal alluded to earlier on, okay, it covers 40% of the increase, and there still leaves 60% to be dealt with by the business. But ultimately, if we had a total price cap, it would shift too much liability onto the government, and you know that we've been here before. And I think that sort of remark has been made about the banking guarantees of old. We don't want to go down that particular route.
Absolutely. Anything else in it today that kind of caught your attention, that stood out, or maybe anything that you felt maybe more could have been done on?
Well, outside of energy, my main concern was disposable income, because going back to the breweries, they're selling into hospitality, and hospitality had a very tough time with COVID and had a bit of a resurgence after COVID as people found their feet again and got out. But now we're facing into a winter where people's incomes are squeezed, and anything that could be done to give the typical spender, I suppose, a bit of comfort in terms of their budget is welcome. And certainly the income tax measures, the USC measure, the tax credits, and the energy credit on the ESB electricity bills, I suppose, that all feeds into giving people a little bit of an offset against that inflation rate, which I think Pascal pegged at 8.5%, but I think everyone knows their own inflation rate is different depending on their circumstances.
I think so, yeah, and I think even for next year, the following year, I think they still have it down as around 7% is what they're anticipating. But look, at Ciarán, at least overall, good to sound that you're quite happy with what was announced today, and certainly gives a little bit of certainty or a little bit of more stability going forward.
Absolutely.
Ciarán Gorman, thank you for that. And Ciarán there from Bevcraft in Mullingar. Donal, I suppose Ciarán has kind of picked up on some of your key points as well. But that whole thing around disposable income, it's, you know, is there going to be any as we move forward in for the tail end of the year?
Yeah, well, I certainly think discretionary spending is going to be hit significantly because, you know, regardless of the supports, the tax cuts, etc., people's incomes are going to be down, and discretionary spending is going to be a casualty of that. So that will affect a lot of businesses, industries. Hospitality is one which could be affected with that. And, you know, post-COVID, people had a lot of maybe savings that basically have been spent. That increased demand, and it was certainly a boost for the economy as well. But those savings have probably run out now. This basically unpredictable sort of situation we've seen for the past 6 or 7 months, and the impact it's having on energy costs and on inflation. So it's going to hit discretionary spending. It's going to hit businesses, particularly small businesses.
As well, at least there are some measures there to try to kind of counteract that as well, and in just trying to get, and John Gagan touching it, that few pound back into people's pockets. I'm sure they'll value it more than ever. You mentioned their hospitality, and we're going to touch on that in more detail after the break with John Clendenin. But the VAT rate, people were watching and kind of wondering, is it going to stay at 9% from February next year, or is it going to go back up to 13.5%? Indications they are it's going to go back up.
Yeah, well, I suppose the budget speech said that the 9% would finish next February, as was predicted previously, or as was outlined previously. That's as it is at the moment. That may change, I suppose, depending on the sort of response. But certainly from the hospitality sector, the response has been quite negative on that particular issue. So the jury's out on that one.
Well, after a break, we'll find out from John Clendenin, the President-elect of the Vintners Federation of Ireland, just what the response from that sector is. John, of course, a publican. He also has a glamping site in Kinnity, as well as being a local councillor too. So very interested in getting John's perspective. And then later, we'll hear from Regina Bushell, too, the CEO of Grovelands Childcare, because additional support announced today towards the cost of childcare. And anybody just trying to put kids into childcare will know that it is effectively a second mortgage typically for a lot of people. That's if you're looking to be able to get a mortgage in the first instance. Anyway, lots to talk about here on Taking Care of Business. My guest in studio this evening is Donal Hackett of Milne O'Dwyer Accountants in Tullamore. And we're going through some of the key points of today's budget that was announced, particularly from a business perspective. We just before the break just touched on that whole area of hospitality. We all know it's a sector that was hit particularly hard through COVID-19 and really was only beginning to start to try and find a way out and recover and get back to a position from where it was. Donal, from your own perspective on the ground, what do you see in that sector as well? Like, are those challenges very real, and how might those businesses be trying to deal with the latest increase in just operational costs? And
well, those challenges are certainly very real. But hospitality suffered probably more than most sectors during the COVID lockdowns, and it certainly did need the help of the VAT reduction, which was planned to terminate next February. You know, hospitality is facing the same challenges as other sectors are facing now with energy costs, etc. So they probably need whatever little help they can get. It was speculated that the government might extend the 9% VAT rate beyond February 23. But as of today's speech, that hasn't happened. And I think the hospitality sector would certainly welcome an extension of that.
Yeah, time will tell whether it does actually be granted. I have a statement here from Deloitte. They're basically saying that the decision not to extend the 9% VAT rate on hospitality will put increased pressure on businesses facing steep competition across the industry as inflationary pressures mount. To get a perspective of what it's actually like in that sector, I'm going to be joined by John Clendenin. John, as you know, is a local councillor here in Offaly, but he's also the owner of Giltrap's Pub and Glamping up in Kinnity and the President-elect of the Vintners Federation of Ireland. John, a very good evening to you too. What's your take on the supports announced in the budget today? Do they go far enough for your sector?
Yeah, good evening, Ronan. And I suppose looking at the budget in perspective yesterday and now with the benefit of hindsight, I think our members really went into the budget looking at it from a supplier and a demand perspective. First of all, from a supplier perspective, in terms of protecting business and protecting jobs, but also from a demand perspective, that consumer confidence will be maintained in the market and that people would have disposable income, considering some of the challenges that are out there in terms of a cost of living crisis at the moment and inflation and the uncertainty of the likes of war in Ukraine. So I think it broadly, the energy support scheme, the business energy support scheme in particular, has been broadly welcome. As has the special exemption orders for late night licences have been halved. And I think as well, as you mentioned in relation to VAT, it's going to run 9% until February next year. And really, I think it's about monitoring that element of supplier and demand activity over the next number of months to see where we're actually going to go. And over the last number of weeks, we had a number of engagements with Minister Pascal Donoghue in particular in relation to where we go. And he compared it to to COVID-19 on a number of occasions. And right now, where we're at with dealing with the problems that we face, there seems to be sufficient support, but there is a huge amount of uncertainty. And I think it's one piece of reassurance that I would take from today's budget is that $2 billion has been set aside for this year and $4 billion for next year as a reserve fund to protect from future shocks. And I think if you want to compare that to COVID, you know, when we initially went into it, we had the likes of the CRSS scheme, we saw the employment wage subsidy scheme come in, we saw a rates waiver, a commercial rate waiver. So there is, I hope, scope that if this crisis does worsen, that there will be the support there. And I think we're probably fortunate in one way. One of your previous speakers there, just from Mullingar, spoke about how the different countries are dealing with this in a different way. We're actually looking at it, we have a surplus. And I think that's one of the most notable points of today's budget, and the fact that there is money aside to support into the future.
From the point of view of looking at, say, all the other factors as well, particularly things like housing, there is additional supports coming in there, you know, in terms of a tax credit for renters, but also in things like childcare. Are they going to help, you think, or do they go far enough for people who are trying to recruit staff around the area and those staff and people who are probably trying to struggle to find accommodation or indeed find affordable accommodation?
Yeah, well, look, I think we're in both hats now as a councillor and involved in pubs. I suppose these supports can never go far enough. But when you do have additional supports, whether it be for carers, whether it's for childcare, whether it's for, you know, school books for primary school, or whether it be assistance of domestic electricity bills, you know, that all would hopefully give a sense of confidence to people out there that, you know, there is, you know, a robustness about the economy right now, and that, you know, they won't shy away from, you know, spending that disposable income locally, whether it be in pubs, restaurants, hotels or retail or any other part of the economy.
Beyond, as president-elect there of the Vintners Federation, is there anything today that your members would have been disappointed with or anything they would have liked to have seen included in the budget?
Yeah, well, I think in particular, obviously, the VAT rate, we would have liked to see a commitment beyond February for the 9%. And also, one of the areas that we would have highlighted continuously over the last number of years is around the whole area of excise duty on alcohol. We have one of the highest rates of excise in Europe. And if we could see a reduction in that, I think it would go a long way to, you know, just making our operations more feasible and more sustainable into the future.
John Clendenin, thank you so much for your input this evening. And back to you now, Donal, as well. I suppose John is reiterating a lot of those challenges that businesses face, but again, maybe you detect an air of optimism about the supports that are put in place today.
Certainly, John did seem to be quite positive about the future, and the fact that I suppose our Exchequer finances are coming for a fairly strong base, and he did seem quite positive. He's happy with the supports now. He would obviously like to see the VAT rate extended for another while, you know, it's another 4.5%. Everything helps, but I'm glad to see that he's quite positive, you know, being at the coalface.
And John, of course, again, touches on that whole area of discretionary spend and making sure that consumers have that money back in their pockets so they can at least spend that, you know, out there in the communities and in hospitality facilities or entertainment facilities, whatever they may be. But I suppose if we look at other parts of the budget there too, and, you know, we've touched on childcare, and we'll speak to Regina Bushell about that very shortly too, but in that whole area of housing and rental, and, you know, there's a whole generation that we hear of in the media, and I think, you know, we all have probably, you know, personal and close examples to us of people of a certain age category who are just struggling to not get on the property ladder, struggling to even get finance agreed, to even begin to look at property. Is enough being done for that generation, do you think? Say, we're talking maybe 25 to 35 year olds.
Well, as you say, you have a whole generation of cohorts there, basically, that are finding it impossible to get on the property ladder. And that's not to mention the difficulty with even finding rented accommodation. But the difficulties in getting on the property ladder, property prices have escalated to, you know, very close to an all-time high, probably. And, you know, the criteria for bank lending is stringent enough. We do have the Help to Buy scheme, which is of assistance. It can provide up to 30,000. But, you know, the availability of affordable accommodation to buy is, you know, it's very tight. And as you say, a whole cohort of people there just are finding it impossible. And I'm not sure that that's going to change for the foreseeable future.
The €500 credit then for rental as well. You know, if you listen to some of the the figures that are being mentioned in the media for rent out there as well? Does it go far enough, I wonder, or will it bring around the change, or will it give the assistance that it's designed to do?
Well, I suppose 500 euros per year, you know, it's 40 euros per month, which is small in comparison with a typical rental cost. You know, there's speculation that the landlord would take that, but there are caps in most areas on what the landlord can increase their rent by. But given the rising rents over the last 2 or 3 years, 500, while certainly helps, it's certainly not going to make an enormous difference to people's finances.
But I suppose it's a step in the right direction, hopefully. One other measure that was announced, and it was widely being kind of predicted too, was that it was going to be free school books for primary school children brought in from, I think it's coming in from September of this year. It, of course, has an interesting angle when you look at it from the perspective of local business and particularly local booksellers, because, you know, there were suggestions in the newspapers like yesterday that does it almost allow the bigger wholesalers to come in and maybe almost outbid and out-tender, or will the school books, will it all go to a tender process as well and therefore have a negative impact on some of our local shops that we're all depend on for our school books too? Well, earlier today, the manager and co-owner of Cormacan's in Athlone, Fergal Cormacan, gave his reaction to the announcement of a new free school book scheme for all primary schools. He was talking to Midlands 103's Ellen Butler. Here's what he had to say about it.
Well, I was a little bit surprised that it was nothing told to us beforehand, but as I said to you, it was probably inevitable over the next number of years that it was going to go this way. It's just that we'd like to have had some heads-up information about it, because we can't plan our business for next year otherwise.
Yeah, so talk me through kind of what impact this then would have on a business like yours.
Well, I mean, you're talking about probably about 40% of our turnover for the year. So if we can't sell any products like that, if you take 40% of a business's turnover, it would be very, very difficult trading in the next number of years after that, you know. But obviously we'll still be open. There's the secondary school books, end of things, and we do office supplies and art supplies as well, so we'll have to rely on that.
A lot has yet to be confirmed or really announced in terms of how the scheme will actually work, the practicalities behind it.
Well, there's been nothing announced yet, so we suppose we'll have to just wait and see. The publishers don't know, the retailers don't know. So obviously the government are going to let us know in the next number of weeks. I would hope to be, bringing some information to us.
Given this measure has been announced and confirmed, what would be your preference in how it would be worked out in practice?
Well, I mean, for me, I said the cheapest way for the country to do it would be that you pay, the government would give the money to the schools per the amount of students in each school, and then the school would go and purchase the books. So they've long-standing relationships with us and all the other retailers around the country, and they can still do what the people they've been dealing with for years. That would probably help a lot for the schools, and it would help a lot for the retailers as well, you know.
You know, interesting, I suppose it was widely flagged that it might come in, the free school books for children, and whilst widely welcome too, just always bear in mind some of these supports, they can also have a negative impact on some business around the region too. So let's see, hopefully when more details emerge of that, everybody will be happy and be able to continue business as normal when that new scheme kicks in. Time for another quick break. After that, we're going to touch on that whole area of childcare, in particular the reduction in childcare that's been promised based on today's announcements, and I'll be talking to Regina Bushell, the CEO of Grovelands Childcare, about those, because Regina's also, as a business owner, has faced challenges of being able to find suitable accommodation for potential employees as well. So it'll be interesting to get Regina's perspective on the overall suite of supports announced today. And Donal Hackett will remain in Studio 2, and we'll touch on some of the finer key items as well from the budget. All that to come between now and 8 p.m. And let's talk business indeed. And I suppose the big question at the top of the show really was, are the government taking care of your business with the announcements made in today's budgets? So far, a lot of the reaction seems to be very, very positive, because I suppose such is the scale of the challenges facing business in terms of operating costs, inflation, and indeed the rising cost of energy. Big announcement today, though, made around childcare, in that there is going to be hopefully what would become a substantial reduction for people using childcare, particularly those who are using the National Childcare Scheme. It could see a reduction of the 25% in the weekly fee for anyone that does avail of that scheme. In brass tacks, that should result in about €175 a month savings for parents or parents who are using that scheme again, which hopefully is money that's back in people's pockets, which will go back into the local community and the local economy too, and hopefully have a bit of discretionary spend. But to find out more about what this will actually mean, I'm delighted to be joined by Regina Bushell, the CEO of Grovelands Childcare. Regina, is this something that the sector very much welcomes?
Indeed, and it is. And it's part of a three-tier structure, if you like. First one was paying conditions for staff, and only this September the core funding promised in last year's budget to support paying conditions for staff was introduced, and that could only be released when the employment regulation order came into place, and that came into place a couple of weeks ago. So that saw terms and conditions for staff improving across the sector. The second tier of that was affordability for parents, and that's what we're seeing in this budget. And the third one, which we're hopefully going to see, is sustainability for providers. But the big news today is definitely the increase in investment for that will see a reduction in parent costs. Providers' fees remain as they are, but the parents will actually see a reduction in the cost. So at the moment, the universal subsidy for the National Childcare Scheme works out at around 50 cents per hour, and that will go to 140 per hour. So the relief to parents who actually have children in full day care 5 days per week could be up to approximately €3,000 in the year. So that's quite a substantial, relief to parents there. And the important thing is that parents need to register for the National Childcare Scheme. Now, I think I mentioned that before when we spoke, that it was really important that people actually go onto the NCS website and that they register their child and get a check. They shouldn't leave that to the last minute if they haven't registered already, because obviously a lot of people will start registering their children, and they need to be registered for January for it in order to avail of that reduction. And like the other thing is that there are parents, and we're seeing this every day, there are parents actually on lower incomes, if you like, who are actually getting really good relief there already under the National Childcare Scheme. So these new things are on top of that. And in addition, parents will also see in a reduction for their fees for part-time places. And indeed, if they use school-age childcare, that is after-school care, as it would generally be called, that they should see a reduction in their fees for that as well. So I suppose overall, really, it is really very good for families. It's a giant step when we look at where we're coming from. Ireland were very low, were very low looking at other countries on the amount of investment that government were putting in for childcare.
Do you see this as the beginning of something and not just a knee-jerk reaction to the rising prices? Is this the beginning of, maybe us adopting more of a European model when it comes to childcare?
It is indeed. This has been spoken about for at least 10 years, and I know I'm advocating for these three tiers for as long as that and more. Like affordability for parents, you could see it with the regulation that would come into childcare began to push fees up and up and up, and it's going to come to a level where parents weren't going to be able to afford it any longer. So it was really important that for the whole economy, that childcare fees were supported in this way, because let's face it, I mean, I'm listening to your earlier speakers there, staffing is a huge issue for us. And part of the thing was sometimes that parents would say, that staff would say, well, I can't afford the childcare aspect of it. And we'd hear that from other employers all around the Midlands and around the country. And this should certainly make childcare more affordable for those parents and hopefully bring them back in to employment, which would be good news story for everybody to see more people coming back into employment. No. Of course, the other things that were there today, the energy support scheme, that will certainly support us as well. Even though there's nothing there for the overheads that are there that are not related to energy, and our costs are continuously going up. we would like to have seen something there. But and the benefit exemptions as well, that was good news for our staff as well. I mean, we have 130 staff ourselves, and that was good news to hear that and see that coming in.
You've 130 staff. You're looking after children for over 700 families across Athlone, Mullingar and Tullamore. Does today's announcement, yeah, does it give you a bit of confidence as you look at going forward and possibly expanding the business then, given the growing demand for the service?
Well, look, we're looking at opportunities all of the time. I mean, we've heard, and I've spoken about it this week, on the whole thing of places for babies and toddlers, which are very much in demand. But we're looking at all the red tape involved in planning and trying to expand services and the investment required for that, because the ratio of babies to three is 3 to 1. The overheads of providing for babies are way more than, you know, sort of somebody operating just a preschool would have. So we'd be hoping, and I know that there is grant aid being talked about, and that may come in to support places for under threes. That's definitely required all around the country. So, you know, we'd be hoping for more news than that. But look, I have the finer detail, the more than earlier speakers were saying, the finer detail isn't available to us yet. I'm having a briefing session with the department tomorrow morning, and probably with Minister Roderick O'Gorman himself tomorrow, to brief us on what's down, you know, the finer detail of this. But it's really, really good news for parents. It's going to come in January 2023. And as I said already, they do need to register with the National Childcare Scheme if they haven't done so already. But I'm pleased for our parents. I'm absolutely thrilled and delighted for our parents that they're getting relief, and hopefully it is a really good step in the right direction, and hopefully more to come in the future for them.
Absolutely. Hopefully the start is something good. Regina Bushell, thank you so much for your contribution as well. So there you go. Very much welcomed by Regina, and I suppose the people in that sector too. Back to Donal Hackett for a very quick sum up. Donal, is there anything major that we've missed there this evening? I know you'll be back on with Will Faulkner on Midlands today from 9 o'clock in the morning to cover all the other aspects of the budget and from a business perspective that we haven't touched on this evening.
I suppose the only thing I can see at this stage is the proposed levy on concrete products. That I suppose the background to that is the defect of concrete products, and essentially the MICA redress scheme, which is, you know, running into an enormous sum of money, and the levy is intended to, I suppose, repay some of that. Now, Tom Parlin of the CIF was on earlier and commenting, basically saying that could add €2,000 to the price of an average house. So that's another factor, we'll say, in construction costs, and another issue that they didn't seem to see coming. So that's one that certainly, you know, we might hear about
it's
again.
It's an interesting one, because I know in the UK for many decades they've had an aggregate tax over there, and that gave Irish companies a bit of a competitive advantage. So an interesting development as well. Very quickly, any other items there that are worth looking at?
No, I think we've covered most of the relevant issues for business. I think it may have been mentioned earlier, newspaper VAT 9% is dropping to zero from the 1st of January. So that's useful for, you know, local and national media as well. Most of the other things I think we've probably covered. There are some challenges facing business. You know, tax warehousing is, that tax debt is due to be repaid from the 1st of January. That's just, you know, coming down the tracks, and that will be significant.
The estimated figure is what on that? 2.8 billion or something?
2.8 billion was the last figure I saw. So that will certainly add to the challenges facing businesses.
That's not going to wait. But look, I think overall, the general consensus so far seems to be, it's been very well received. Donal, thank you so much for coming in this evening, and hopefully we'll see you again next year when might be another 11 billion to give out, or hopefully you won't need it before then anyway.
Thank you, Ronan.
And Donal, of course, will be back here live with Will Faulkner tomorrow morning as well to take you through all those other aspects of the budget as well, the ones that don't directly affect the businesses but affect you, the listener, the average citizen of the Midlands too. So be sure to tune in there from 9 p.m. Beyond that, it's for me to say thanks to Donal as well for taking time to go through the budget so comprehensively, and to all tonight's contributors too, to Kieran Gorman of Bevcraft, Regina Bushell from Grovelands Childcare, John Clendenin, and of course John Gagan from Mullingar Chamber too, for their perspectives on it. Thank you for getting in touch as well. And that's it for this week. We're back to more normal things, because actually next week I'll be joined by Vincent Cleary, because believe it or not, it was a year ago today since that famous fire at Glenisk's facility out in Killy. So Vincent will be along to talk about what it's like a year later. Talk to you all then.